Welcome back to another podcast. I'm Bob Furring, and this is our annual Meet the Board Candidates podcast, where I interview the three who are running, and we find out a little bit about them and what they plan to do with the community. So first up is Bruce Marley. Bruce, welcome back.
Thanks much. I appreciate the opportunity.
I know you're back because this is the second time you're running for the board.
That is correct. I got to do a podcast about a year ago as to the role of the treasurer, which was kind of fun, too.
Yeah. So how long have you lived here, and where did you come from? And
Claudia and I bought our home here in June 11, and the first couple of years we tried to live full-time. It was too hot. We bought another home up in Oregon. But I find I enjoy this place more, so we're pretty much full-timers now, involved in golf and pickleball, and my wife's volunteering at the library and emergency preparedness, and we're doing a lot of things. The days go quick, but I always find time for a nap at about 2 o'clock.
Good, good. So there's plenty of room for board business, huh?
Yeah, I'm guessing that I get in 50 to 60 hours a month on a typical month. Meetings, of course, approving 200-plus invoices every month. Special meetings and the like, but I'm retired. I can handle that.
Yeah, good. Okay, and so what will be your primary goal or target for the community the second time around?
Well, I'm going to phrase it. I think the board's primary goal is to ensure continued financial greatness, goodness, whatever word you want to use. We just have a new budget this year. The dues came in at $273 a month. I think it's pretty fiscally responsible. Our reserves are running mid-70s, which is really responsible given the entire valley. Probably we're one of the higher levels there. So I think continued financial viability, which I think helps to ensure that the amenities are in good shape, and I think that also helps home values. So my first goal as a board member and for this board is to continue to focus on financial viability. The second one, and Fear and I touched on it when we did the candidate forum last week, was it? And it is to get more volunteerism. I mean, I try to run the numbers, being the old banker that I am, and I'm guessing we have 120 to 130 regular volunteers in this community, whether it be the board, whether it be all the advisory committees, whether it be the library volunteers or the like. And I backed into it thinking that's probably 500 hours a month of volunteerism.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are with this election coming up, and we have, I'd like to say with all due modesty, three real good candidates. And at the same time, we only have three real good candidates. It gets back to that volunteerism thing. I think if things weren't running well, this community would have put forth maybe one or two more potential candidates. I'm personally quite happy that it's only Farah, Johnny, and I, because it eliminates doorbelling. It eliminates spending
a
couple...
yard signs.
Oh, yeah, yard. Tell me about that. I think that it costs anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000 to run a campaign, and I don't mind not spending that, although I had a lot of friends helping me out. So the second piece is volunteerism. How do we encourage more really qualified citizens in this community, like Johnny, to step up and run for election? You know, 3 and 4 and 5 years ago, it was a little testy, and I think today it's not testy. I think this board has proven real professionalism. I think we're totally transparent. I think there's a collegiality involved in it. Fear and I often talk that Bob Israel, who is an attorney, surprised us very pleasantly, and I've said this to Bob, that he's done a superb job on this board. This board has been really functional. The five of us work really well together. But we need more volunteers. I would have loved nothing more than to have two or three real good candidates running this time, and I probably would not have put my hat in the ring. But so those are the two items, Bob. I think the continued financial viability, and we got to really focus on trying to drive more volunteers to be party to what's going on around here.
And when your current term ends, how would you like to be remembered?
Well, I hope that, and I fully expect that they'll look back at this board, all 4 years of it, as being professional, transparent, collegial, and have helped this community smooth things out a little bit versus the way things might have been viewed a couple, 3 years ago. Goes back also to, I would strongly hope that we look at a continued very strong financial footing, dues that are reasonable, good decisions on the part of the board, whether they be dog poop stations or cable or pool chillers or whatever. And I just hope that we are in good financial position, that dues are reasonable, and we are continue to be viewed as one of the stronger HOAs in the Valley.
Okay, thank you.
That was easy. Thanks, Bob.
Okay, and our second candidate on the hot seat is Farah Mostow, also a repeat. Farah, welcome back.
Thank you.
And how long have you lived at Shadow Hills?
I've lived here 14 years. When I first moved in here, the clubhouse, the Montecito clubhouse had just been built, and phase three was an empty lot.
Wow.
So I've seen a lot of changes since I've been here.
So you were here a long time before deciding to run for the board.
Oh, yes. In fact, I served on a number of committees before I decided to run for the board. I was on design review, covenants committee, what else? I'm trying to remember mostly the CCNR committee when we rewrote the CCNRs. And information advisory. I served on a lot of committees and learned a lot about the community and then decided to run for the board.
I see. And you are an attorney by profession?
I am. I've been a licensed attorney in the state of California for, God help me, 35 years. Long time.
That's a good background for reading a lot of documents, which you've been doing the last year or so.
Oh, yeah. We've been, you know, contracts are important. As Bruce said, keeping our finances stable and in good shape are critical. And the big part of that is entering into contracts that make sense, that are reasonable, and that keep us fiscally secure. So, yeah, I've been reading a lot of contracts. You know, I was on Financial Advisory Committee before this, and they really read contracts, and I'm really pleased of the job they do to put things forward so that when we look at them, we already know they've been vetted once. And then Bob and I do another go through because he's also a lawyer, and I think we do a good job and keep this community fiscally secure.
Good. And so your second time around, what's your primary goal from being on the board?
Well, you know, I do a lot of volunteer work at a charity that has a slogan, "A World That Works for Everyone." Well, my goal for this community is to have it be a community that works for everyone. To have it be a community that makes people be happy to be here, to be fiscally secure. I mean, I think you've heard all of this from me and from Bruce, but essentially it's the kind of community where when you drive in, you go, wow, I'm glad to be here. I love living here. And when people come to look at our housing, and they want to live here. And that's the biggest goal. And, you know, when we talk about a community that works for everyone, we need a community that works. So, again, we're back to volunteerism. And the idea that this is a volunteer-based homeowners association, a lot of committees, a lot of opportunities to participate, I think that's crucial.
Okay. And when your term is done, how would you like to be remembered?
Well, I think my most important goal, and maybe the best way I want to be remembered, is that we were a board that worked, that made decisions in a collegial, cooperative fashion. We weren't always going to agree. I mean, I don't think that would be right to have five people that were acting in lockstep all the time. But whatever decisions we made, they were positive, they were good for the community, they worked, and they made us a community that was one of the best, one of the ones people want to live with in the Coachella Valley, with some of the lowest dues, best amenities. And frankly, I think it's one of the prettiest communities in the Coachella Valley. And that if I leave at the end of, you know, when I leave at the end of the 2 years and say, that's what we did, I'd be very happy.
Okay. Thank you, Farah.
Thank you.
And our third board candidate, first time on the board, is Johnny Goodrum. Johnny, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here today.
And tell us a bit about your background. How long have you lived here, and what were you doing before?
We've lived here going on 4 years now, and my wife is from Palm Springs, and her parents lived in Palm Springs, and so we were out and about looking for a place to live, and we found a rental here in Sun City, and so we rented that for a year. And the people said, you know, you can stay here as long as you want. Well, after the year's up, they decided they wanted their house back. So so then we went to another rental place, and then that was about 18 months. And during this time, we've just fell in love with the community so much that we wanted to be more involved, you know, as being a homeowner. So we found a home that we thought we couldn't live without. We bought it, and now we're here.
I see. Okay, and so what was your primary goal in running for the board?
Well, what I'd like for us to do is try to preserve our HOA fees that in turn does not diminish our homeowner values. This can be done by keeping our reserve fund fully funded, keeping our operating budget in line with approved amounts, having a working cost analysis to monitor our spending. And I think if we do those things, and some of that has been said by the other members running, that I think we can have a great community and keep it that way. So that would be my primary goal, is to preserve our HOA fees and our homeowner values.
Okay. And when your term ends, inevitably it will, how would you like to be remembered?
Well, Bob, I hope the board can find solutions for whatever apathy we have in the community, whether it's voter apathy or participation apathy. I really feel like we should just go in together as a group and try to find ways to fully engage the homeowners here. You know, we have over 3,000 homes here, and there's got to be, and we know there is, some good quality people that live here. And they may or may not be involved in the community, but if they're not, and I think we should somehow try to engage those people. I think that we should allow the board meetings to be the website for homeowner input instead of, you know, some of these social media sites, and they're coming up more and more. And if we engage our homeowners, then I think they'll come to us rather than going to some off-site to maybe air their grievances or give us a thumbs up. So I think that's very important. We also need to maintain and strengthen the trust we have with homeowners, and I think one way to do that is try to keep them off those other social media sites. Let them come to us. I know that I used to work for a natural gas utility company. My phone would ring in the middle of the night, you know, and I understand that that was part of the job. And if my phone rings in the middle of the night, if I'm so elected to the board by a homeowner, I'm going to listen to those people because I think it's important. So we need to maintain and engage our homeowners and keep them, let them know that they have put our trust in us, and we're going to protect that trust. And finally, the last thing I'd like to do or see done is increase the revenues from outside participation in the golf course and the Shadows Restaurant. I know I'm the new kid on the block. I don't have my feet wet yet, but those are two things that I really think that we could look into that would bring more revenue into our community and then bring outside people. And I think a lot of that can be done through aggressive marketing and promotions. So those are the things that I would like to see done during my first term.
Okay. Well, thank you, Johnny. And to the audience, just because there are only three people running does not mean you can ignore the ballot. We're legally required to hold these elections. If they don't get a quorum, they're going to have to send it out again, which costs thousands of dollars. And so please do your community service and vote when the ballots come in. And with that, thank you for your attention. And until next time, bye-bye.